If you've ever been to a ball game, a concert, and especially in church, you're a part of a community. And these things just wouldn't be the same if we were to do them alone. There's something about community that's in our DNA.
Biblical oneness is always viewed in the context of community.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. The community God has created for us is one of the greatest gifts He's given us because it comes from His very nature. Charles Tapp continues his series, Sweet Fellowship, with his message, Created for Community.
You know, we've been talking a lot about community here at Sligo Church, and we will continue to do so in the next several weeks. But in my first message that I titled Sweet Fellowship, I share with you some very interesting statistics as it relates to church attendance here in the United States. And what these church researchers tell us is that 40% of Americans say that they attend church. And the key word there is say. 40% say they attend church. Well, actually, the numbers are more like 20% of Americans actually go and attend church. And out of that 20% that attends church, they call their regular church attendance once or twice a month. And out of that 20% that goes to church once or twice a month, 50% of them say they don't have a church home. In other words, they just hop from one church to the next. I remember a sister telling me a couple of years ago, she said, Pastor, I'm a member of your church, and I'm a member of a church across town. I come to your church for 2 weeks, and I go across town for 2 weeks. These researchers also tell us that by the year 2025, the rate of church attendance is going to decline to 15%. 15% of Americans will attend church. And they say the reason for this is that they are finding a sense of love and fellowship and connectedness in other places that they cannot find where they should find it, and that is in the church. Some find it in bars or clubs. Some even find it in gyms. But the sad commentary is many of them are not finding it where they should find it, and that is in the church. That is in the house of God. They have this sense of family, this sense of love, this sense of community, but for some reason they can't find it in the church. And what makes this situation even that much more alarming is when you place it in the context of the admonition that the writer to the Hebrews gave to the early church in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to verse 25. Look at what God's word says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is what, everybody? Is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur or encourage one another on toward love and good deeds. And here it is in verse 25. Not giving up meeting what? Together as some are in the habit of doing, but rather encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of the Hebrews is simply telling these early believers, listen, now is not the time for you to turn your back on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For some of them were turning their backs on the gospel and accepting a gospel of works instead of a gospel of faith in Jesus Christ. And some of them were even becoming part of these sects which isolated themselves and secluded themselves. And he goes on to say, listen, you don't understand something.
You're going to need one another more than ever before as the day approaches. And he does not really tell them what that day is. And he doesn't tell them because he doesn't have to tell them. They already know what it is. Just like if I said to you, what are you doing on the 4th? You would know what I was talking about. You know I was talking about the 4th of July. You already have your plans already in your head of what you're going to do and what you're going to barbecue and all the fireworks. So when the writer to the Hebrews says, listen, as the day approaches, you're going to need this community and this fellowship more than ever before, they recognized and they knew he was talking about the end of time right before Christ's return. And let me tell you something, dear friends, you and I are going to need one another as believers more than ever before as we continue on in the last days. How many of you know that to be true? How many of you know we are living in the last days? You know, we always talked about it. We read about it. Our parents said, well, in the last days. Listen, these are the last days. And what's going to occur in the last days more than it has ever before occurred, and that is simply this. The powers and the structure of this world is going to try and to test everything that you and I believe in. Every truth that you and I hold dear is going to be tried and tested. So what he's saying is we're going to need the love and the encouragement and the fellowship of one another more than ever before because we will not be able to find it anywhere else, Jeff. And I truly believe the time is going to come, dear friends, where we're going to be forced to go back to the times of the early church in the book of Acts, where the Bible says they had everything in common. Things are going to become and get so bad in this world, in this country, that you and I are going to have to share resources back and forth. I heard a newscaster say just last week on television, listen, he said, if you think things are going to get better, you're wrong. And you know what? I applaud him for that because he's right. Things are not going to get better. They're going to become increasingly worse in these last days. So what I don't have and you do have, you're going to have to share with me, and I'm going to have to share with you what I have because I'm not going to have the means. We're going to need to encourage one another as never before. We're going to need this sense of community. So that's why the writer to the Hebrews tells them, this is not the time to pull away or to pull apart. It's the time to hold fast. It's the time to remain firm in your faith. It's the time to encourage one another. And that's one of the reasons why I love coming to church and I love fellowshipping. I love to encourage as well as to be encouraged. Amen? Some people, the only loving touch they receive all week long is right here in this sweet fellowship that many of us as God's people take for granted. So the writer of the Hebrews says, listen, it's not the time to pull apart, not the time to pull away, because you and I have this insatiable desire and need for this thing we call community. And it's not something that we acquire along the way. Our sense of need for community goes deeper than something that you and I acquire. I believe that you and I were created for community. Take your Bibles in hand. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to verse 23. Look at what it says. The Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be what? To be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made what? A woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Please don't miss this today. When God created man, and I'm talking about mankind, he created us to be in community, male and female. So from the very beginning, we were designed by God to experience a sense of connectedness. It is in our DNA. Why is this the case? Because as the Bible says in Genesis 1:26, you and I were created in the image of God. And the community that exists within man, that was created by God, is simply a reflection of an image which is inherent in the very nature of who God is. God exists in community. Genesis 1, let's go there quickly. Look at God in community. In the beginning, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was what? And there was light. Don't miss this. In the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1, God opens the door and allows us to see his nature and how it exists in community. It is a community of oneness. For in verse 1, we see that God creates the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, we see the Spirit, which is also God, not creating, but now hovering over that which has already been created, as if in a protective kind of sense. And then in verse 3, we see the Word of God. Let there be and there was. And what John tells us in his gospel in John chapter 1 is that the Word created everything that was ever created. And one day that Word, which was God, by the way, became flesh. So from the very beginning, listen, God is not presented as three gods, but as three beings who are one God, a community of oneness. But in order to be truly one, there would have to be complete mutuality as well as complete equality. There would have to be a sense of connectedness, but there would also have to be a sense of equality. And here's what I want you to understand. For oneness in Scripture is not defined as some solitary entity, but true oneness is revealed through plurality. A plurality where each member is connected to the other without there being a sense of rank or superiority. So the Father had nothing over the Son has nothing over the Father, and the Spirit has nothing over either one of them. Simply put, biblical oneness is always viewed in the context of community. In other words, in order for there to be oneness, there has to be more than one. Let that sink in for a moment. In order for there to be oneness, there has to be more than one. Look at the biblical economy of God. One plus one plus one equals what? One. Some of the kids are going, "Pastor, you messed up. You just failed math." We'll explain it to you later. In order for there to be biblical oneness, there has to be more than one. So if God creates man in his own image and he creates them as one, there has to be more than one. Male and what? And female.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Created for Community. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer
or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
Request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is waiting for you.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and God has given his creation the precious gift of community that comes from the very nature of God himself. Charles Tapp continues with the rest of his message, Created for Community.
We see the connectedness when God creates woman by removing a part of Adam's body and placing it in her. So when God said, it is not good that man should be alone and that man needed a helper, he wasn't saying that woman was created to take care of man. Let's just make that clear. I thought all the women in the church would have said amen. Woman was not created to take care of man. She was not created by God to be his slave or to be his servant. As a matter of fact, the word helper or helpmeet in the Hebrew is translated as one who has come to the rescue of another. All the women said, yeah, yeah, I like that. So the next time you get into an argument, I came to rescue you. You don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, rescue from what? Here it is. When God created mankind, in creating man in his image, he couldn't just stop with Adam. For in order for the image of God to be complete, to be one, oneness has to be more than one. So he created woman to reflect his own nature. And just because, I know what you brethren are thinking, Pastor, well, we were created first. Listen, just because chronologically we came first does not give us superiority. The men are quiet. They want to say something else, you know. Listen, it simply means that we were first. In order for us to truly reflect the image of God and create it in his image, if God's oneness is revealed through his plurality, Father, Son, and Spirit, then our oneness has to also be revealed in more than one, male and female, man and woman. Woman was not created as inferior or less than, but rather as the completion of the image of God. Here it is. So when God said, it is not good for man to be alone, in essence, he was saying, it's not good because I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished creating my divine image within man, meaning mankind. It has to be more than one. It is the community of oneness. Man has no rank. Man has no superiority. There is none. We are all one. In order for true oneness to exist, there has to be more than one. It wasn't until after the fall in the garden that that changed and there became rank. And God now says, now the man will be in charge of the woman. But here is where the cross of Christ changed everything. for the oneness, the community of oneness that was lost in the garden, has now been restored through the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church of Galatia, chapter 3. Let's look at verse 26 to verse 28. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, right? Now that we're in Christ, we're all children. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have what? Clothed yourselves with Christ. We have taken on Christ. And because of that, because we are all in Christ now, listen to what I'm telling you. Because of the cross of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. Could have stopped there, but he didn't. Nor is there what? Male and female, for you are all what? One in Christ Jesus. Please understand this. Paul is not doing away with the distinctions, but he's putting them in their proper context. And what he's simply saying is, just because you are a Jew gives you no advantage now, because you're in Christ. Just because you are a man now gives you no advantage over the woman any longer, because you are now in Christ. Just because you have a different socioeconomic background gives you no advantage any longer, because now you are part of the greatest community there is, and that is the church. The community of oneness. You're not special. I'm not special because I'm black. You're not special because you're not black. What makes us all special is that we are one in Christ. What makes us special is that we're part of this new community that does not give the distinctions of race or gender or class to be used as an advantage over anyone. So be proud to be white. I'm happy that you're white. I'm happy that you're Indian. I'm happy that I'm black. But that means nothing in the cross of Christ, because we're all one. And biblical oneness, there has to be more than one. I love how Paul described it in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, what makes us one is our need for one another. So the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. What makes us one is that we're dependent on each other. I need you and you need me. We reflect the image of God. And in the image of God, the Trinity, the Godhead, when you see it in the context of salvation, you get it. For God gave his only begotten what? Son. The Son came and died, right? And the Spirit gives us power to live the victorious Christian life. Take one of them out, it all falls apart. Because they are equal. It's the community of one. And here's the thing that God wants for his people. Here's what the writer to the Hebrews was trying to help them to understand. It is in the community of the church where the image of God can be seen the greatest. And the world is looking to the church. And instead, many times, of seeing the image of God, they're seeing an image of the world. One of my favorite books by Gilbert Bilezikian, his classic Christianity 101, page 176. He gives this profound description of the church. Look at what he says. He says, the church was to be the new community that God is preparing on earth for an eternal destiny in heaven and the earth made new. It was to be the warm, open, pulsating, dynamic, loving, attractive new community of God that would penetrate the culture and do what? Claim it for Jesus Christ. And how could they do that? Because here's the thing. The greatest demonstration, the greatest revelation that you and I as the church are truly the community of oneness created in the image of God is not by our giftedness, but by our fruitfulness. Jesus himself said, and this is how all men will know that you're one of mine, that you're in this community. If you have what? Love for one another. The world needs to see a community that says you're all equal. Different, but equal. The world needs to see a place where it doesn't matter the size of your paycheck. The world needs to come into a community where it makes no difference what part of the world you're from, because you're all the same and you're only judged on your giftedness. That's what makes you fit for service, not your gender. Well, the Bible says, and God will pour his spirit upon all flesh, not some flesh. So women don't take a back seat in the new community. Youth don't take a back seat in the new community. We're all one. Some of us are hands. Some of us are feet. All of us are connected, and we all need one another. And if we could ever become that kind of community, people wouldn't go to bars any longer, looking for love, looking for fellowship, looking for connectedness. If we had that kind of love and that kind of fellowship and that kind of spirit in the church, what? But until we get it, instead of being the force God wants us to be to the world, we end up looking like a farce to the world. I want to be that force that penetrates, that shows love, not based on gender, a race, a class. I want to be that force that opens up the door and says, once you're in Christ, we're here. That's my prayer. That's my hope. That's my desire for this church. We cannot use our distinctions as an advantage. It simply means we need one another. I pray we can become that community. What that means is we're going to have to start encouraging one another, stirring one another up, comforting one another, because you're going to need somebody. You're going to need me, and I'm going to need you. I pray to God today that we can become that community. Where God looks at and says, I see my image in them.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Created for Community. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
The attack of Adam and Eve in the garden was not just an attack on Adam, or an attack on Eve, or on the couple itself, but it was attacked by the enemy on the nature and the image of God in man.
We were never meant to live alone in seclusion. God created us for one another, for community, for building each other up. But it's been under attack since the beginning of time. And next week, Charles Tapp continues with the third part in this series by helping you understand what it means to live out a community of oneness with his message, Attack on Community. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.